Healthcare in American prisons has never been great. In fact, before 1976, inmates were not legally entitled to care. Now, however, the courts have said prisons must provide adequate medical services. State legislators know that, and 10 years ago, they were given a detailed report of serious problems with healthcare behind bars. But Hope Amescada with Virginia's ACLU says they did nothing. And her colleague, lawyer Gabe Eber, says voters probably didn't care.
A lot of people would say, I don't have a right to health care. I don't have insurance. I can't get my cavities filled. Why should this murderer or this thief or this sex offender get free health care? And that's probably one of the reasons there hasn't been more outrage.
But under the Affordable Care Act, more Americans will have coverage, and voters may begin to see it as a moral right. They may also tire of spending $1 billion a year on corrections.
You can build new prisons or you can build college classrooms, but you can't do both.
Mark Maurer heads the Sentencing Project in Washington, D.C., a nonprofit that does research and lobbies for alternatives to prisons.
But I think there's also growing recognition that it doesn't do much good to just sound tough on crime. We need to be smart on crime. We need to be looking at programs and policies that can actually provide safety, not just sound good in election campaign.
Four Northern Virginia legislators, Senator Adam Eben and Delegates Patrick Hope, Charniel Herring, and Tom Rust, have been pressing for prison reform, and the Department of Corrections has a new program that allows inmates to earn their way out of solitary. The state claims it's cut the number of inmates in administrative segregation by 58% since it began using the step-down program 2 years ago. It also reports a 56% reduction in prison incidents and 23% fewer inmate grievances, so that trend seems likely to continue. Virginia's parole board has rarely made use of the geriatric provision that allows early release of elderly inmates. Often, model prisoners are told no because they committed a serious crime, essentially ignoring the idea that prisoners can be rehabilitated. By law, inmates are only considered for geriatric parole if they apply, but Delegate Hope says few do.
A lot of inmates are so disgusted with the whole parole board process. They get rejected so much. People that are in their 60s and 70s, they're not violent offenders or there's no threat. I think we should consider them for release.
The legislature could change the law, bringing cases of elderly inmates to the board automatically. And if a new governor appoints a more lenient board, more prisoners over 60 could be released. Lawmakers might also want to follow the U.S. Attorney General's lead in doing away with mandatory sentences for drug-related crimes. Former Virginia Beach businessman Stephen Colosi, who's been behind bars for more than a decade, says excessively long sentences have made it impossible for some inmates to go home.
What's happening is, in many cases, they're keeping us in here so long that they're losing any ability to reconnect with family or community. You know, your family passes away and some of these guys have nowhere to go.
The state may also face up to a serious medical problem spread by IV drug use, tattooing, and sex in state prisons, a viral liver disease that can kill. Here again is ACLU attorney Gabe Eber.
Hepatitis C is a huge problem in prisons. It's very expensive to treat. So there's a real hesitancy of correctional systems to start treatment.
Unlike neighboring Maryland, Virginia doesn't even screen for hepatitis C, and public health officials warn that as infected prisoners leave state correctional centers, they could bring an epidemic of this disease into the community. One other area to watch is privatization. Some observers, like Gabe Eber, staff counsel to the ACLU's National Prison Project, say government alone should administer prisons and the health care they provide.
By adding a private for-profit corporation in there, you're changing the nature of the punishment. You're giving this corporation considerable power over prisoners who are in the custody of the state. And, you know, when you put a profit motive into the provision of health care, it may not necessarily be in the interest of the taxpayers or of equal importance to the prisoners.
But the business of caring for prisoners appears to be a profitable one, and companies pay to play. Corizon, Virginia's largest provider of medical services to prisons, paid lobbyists here more than $21,000 this year, and its CEO gave $500 to the campaign of Republican Ken Cuccinelli. Another provider, the GEO Group, spent nearly $15,000 on lobbyists, and one of their top competitors, Armour Correctional Health Services, contributed $25,000 to the campaign of Democrat Terry McAuliffe. I'm Sandy Houseman.